Hey, what's up, guys? That's right, Nerd Soul here. Get ready for the podcast, breaking down what happened in your week of geek. Doesn't matter if it's movies, comic books, TV shows, we're going to get right into it. So I ain't going to waste your time. Let's do this. Spider-Man Into the Spider-Verse. Now, this is the animated film that Sony was talking about, saying that they were going to give Miles Morales his own film. He wasn't in the live action, even though people wanted that. They said, no, we still want Peter Parker for whatever reason. We ain't gonna cover that in this show. That's a discussion that's way too long that we got. But in this case, they said, look, we can't put him on live action. We ain't gonna go there, but we will give you an animated film. And everybody was like, you know what? We're not happy, but we'll take it. Sony, what you got? Well, they came out, they had the Brazil Comic Con, and they finally showed us a trailer. And is it good? Yeah? Now, before we get going too far, for those that don't know who Miles Morales is, he is a Black and Latino kid who is, well, initially was in an alternate universe of Marvel where Peter Parker had already died. He was kind of inspired by that. He had the powers of Spider-Man. Well, his powers are a little different. He has some powers that are cooler, some powers that aren't as cool, but they differ a little bit in their power structure, but they're approximately the same to where he can, like, shoot webs, climb walls, all that good stuff. So he takes up the mantle as Spider-Man. During that time, he's been moved to Earth 616 and all that good stuff. But he's also part of the Spider-Verse that has, like, there's like 8 Spider-Men. Like, everybody is a Spider-Man. Even Dr. Octopus was Spider-Man for 2 seconds. Maybe he's still Spider-Man, but anyway, that's not the point. The point is that Miles Morales is what people know as the Black Spider-Man. If you also looking for any other Spider-Man of other ethnicities, you do have Miguel from 2099. He's real cool too, so you can check him out at another date. But right now, we got our Miles Morales film coming. Everybody was excited. They were like, oh man, we're about to see the trailer. So what do you got? And what we get is a very artistic, a very stylized look at Spider-Man. I'll be honest, it's very colorful. It's very contrasted. There are some cool ways they show off Miles Morales in this trailer. The way he moves, the way they pop in different things as he's moving in action. I think there's a lot to love here. There's a lot of cool things to pick apart from this as well, from an artistic standpoint. So I think from the starting point, they're not looking too bad. And you know, when it comes to the action, the way he was like jumping off the cab, or the way he was like flipping his webs while he was falling through the air, those are some really cool moments that I think are pretty dope and that we haven't really seen from an animated version of Spider-Man. Like, of course, Spider-Man's been animated maybe like 5 times before, 5, 6 times, something like that, as many times as Turtles. But the point is, I think there's some new unique takes that we're seeing on this. And that might be because there's like 3 directors on this movie. I have no idea why you need 3 directors, but that's a whole nother thing. But I do think we're getting some cool stuff. So the look is cool. The action looks pretty fresh. So why was I saying Sony, Sony, Sony? Well, that's because it's not exactly what we expected. But guys, if you love this trailer, I gave you what I love, so y'all can bounce now. If you want to know what I'm feeling on the other side of the love, going to stay after this. But of course, first, Cure Brand, go help us pay them bills. Oh yeah, did you see your boy? I said, did you see him? Check those shirts, hats, all that, and the link down below for curobrand.com. Check yourself out some gear, and if you like it, cop it. So the movement in this looks cool. The action looks cool, but back to the movement, even though it looks cool, the way it moves could be a problem for me, because I don't know if they're going after a stop motion kind of style, or if their frame rate is just extremely low, which is weird because this is a CGI film, so you think they'd be able to come through with like fully realized animation, just like Pixar or something. I mean, Sony Animation has never been dope at all. But I did expect them to pull out all the stops here. And the problem I have with this trailer is that I don't feel like they pulled out all the stops. Now, this movie is still a year off. So what we're seeing is a super duper teaser. So this movie is far from done. So the frame rate that I'm seeing now may not even be indicative of what we're gonna see, of course, next Christmas. So I might be bugging for no reason. But if I'm bugging for a reason, maybe Sony should have just passed this off and let Pixar handle it. Because I'm like, man, this joint, it's between a low frame rate and stop motion animation. I don't know what you're doing. But I will say, when they flip to those action sequences where they like kind of put like a 2D style on it and then snap back, that is fresh. That is very unique. That is very cool. So I'm definitely giving you that. I'm just saying the way he moved and all that, it just, I didn't know what you're going for. So maybe they're going for stop motion style, but it did look at times like there was a very low frame rate and that they were just trying to pass it off as trying to be stylized. But we'll see how that goes. Hopefully this is something that I'm just tripping over. It's just a teaser and we'll go on and get a fully fleshed out, super smooth animation next Christmas. The next thing that I'm kind of worried about is whether this is Miles' movie or not, because we were told, hey, Miles cannot be in live action because we have an animated film just for him. And then at the end of this, we find out that it's not just for him. And the title leads us to believe that it's not just for him. Why? Because at the end, we see him talking to Peter saying, you know, how many of us are there? So that means that it's not Miles' film. So here's my thing. I know this seems petty, but the bottom line is, if you're gonna give the man a film, give him his film. You know what I'm saying? It's like, you told us we can't have him live action. The rumor is, I know it's been reported, but the talk around the town is, Kevin Feige wanted Miles Morales at Homecoming. You guys said no. You then kind of stripped Miles Morales' storyline to use it for Peter Parker in the live action Homecoming. We were like, cool, all right, sure. Y'all are giving us an animated version? Sure. It'll be all his, fine with us. And then you give it to us and it's not his. So my thing is it Miles' movie or not? Because that's another thing that's gonna kind of push how I feel on whether it's good or bad. Like, is it his movie? Is it not his movie? You know, that's where I'm starting to lean now because I see these cool visuals. I see this unique style, the kind of like flash with the 2D and the 3D. I'm like, wow. And then I'm like, hey, is this his movie? So guys, holla at me, I'ma holla at you. Down in the comments, let me know what you think about, of course, Miles Morales, Spider-Man, Into the Spider-Verse. Do you think this is gonna be his movie? Are you feeling the frame rate? Are you loving the art style? Anything you got to say, holla at a player. But before I bounce, I gotta say, on screen, we got episode 6. I'm super happy because we got the plot moving along of Runaways. And straight up before we get started, I gotta give Hulu their props. I was wondering if they were gonna mismanage this property, but they're doing pretty well. I'm really loving the show. So let's talk about what I was digging, like the flashback. We find out that, of course, 15 years ago, they were kind of like forced or sucked into this kind of life of crime, which, I don't know how I feel. Like, you know, one side of me just wants the parents to be evil, but now this kind of sort of gives them a redeeming quality because there's a guy that's kind of like forcing them to do it. I don't know how I feel. Like, I think it would be cooler if they were just straight up evil. Like, the parents were just straight up bad and, you know, it was their decision to be bad and not kind of a situation where they were sort of led to be bad. You know what I'm saying? Like, if they were just on their own dime, kind of just being evil. But with that said, this show handles flashbacks pretty well. I mean, you know, the matted hair on Bald Daddy notwithstanding, I actually like it. I think the flashbacks in this show, especially at the beginning, help inform the episode, especially when it comes to Carolina's granddaddy slash daddy. We ain't even gonna go there. But when it gets to him and how he sort of manipulated these people into place to be kind of like the shadowy, you know, leader or the shadowy villain, I think it's kind of cool. I really want to see how this plays out because this is getting very twisted in people's emotions because now we have a situation where it seems the kids aren't sure how they feel about their parents. And I say that because, you know, at first they were kind of like gung-ho, like, yo, we're gonna take our parents down, they're evil, they're killing kids. But now, you know, with Nico, now with Chase, it seems like there's situations where they're starting to get the emotions and get the respect and get the admiration and get the time, especially quality time, that they wanted from their parents for like a long time. So now they're feeling conflicted about, well, maybe my dad isn't as bad as I think my dad is, or, you know, or maybe he's coming from a good place. You know, they're trying to find ways to justify what their parents are doing, which makes sense to me. You know, that's a very human thing. Like at first you're like, man, my parents are bad, because of course your parents are beefing. But then when you're not beefing no more, you're like, well, you know, maybe the kids deserved it. And that's something that I think is extremely good and as an extra layer to this show. Another thing that adds a layer to the show, which I'm not sure whether I like or not, is the whole thing with Carolina and Nico. Well, really Carolina, because Nico don't know. But Carolina being, romantically attracted to Nico, and now you're kind of introducing this kind of love triangle, maybe a love square, because it's, all right, it's Nico, then it's Alex, then it's Carolina, then it's Chase. So I don't know, it's like two triangles put together. I don't know. The point is that I really wish people would just say what they want. Like, Carolina, just say you like the girl, and then she can either say yes or she can say no, but then we can move on. We don't need an extra love triangle on what these kids already got to deal with. All right, they got powers. All right, they got powers. They got killer parents. All right, and then they got homework. All right, you got tons of stuff to do. You ain't got time to deal with whether someone like you or not. All right, pass or a no, yes, no, or maybe. Anyway, one thing that is super cool about this episode is kind of like the undercover, the sneaky, the Metal Gear Solid nature of course, Alex and Nico's mission to break in, steal these files, and see what's going on, of course, at Wizard. And to see Gertz get her Mac on. I was like, all right, Gert. Gert. To see Gert get her Mac on. I was like, go on, girl. I see you flirting. I see you trying to get fly. You know, trying to do your thing. And that was cool, you know, because, you know, the place that she comes from, she's not the type to kind of go out and get her flirt on. But she held it down, you know, for the team. I got to give her props, man, because I thought that was going to crash and burn. I really did. I seriously expected that to crash and burn. And when it didn't, I was like, go Gert, you do your thing. Now back to this love square. I think I'm going to make that hashtag love square. Anyway, back to this love square. I do like Gert versus Carolina for a second, where she was like, you need to tell him what you think. And she was like, you need to tell him what you think. So I thought that was cool to just see them kind of face off a little bit, because of course each of them wants something different. But I think Carolina is like, well, look, if I can't have what I want, I ain't going to give you what you want. So I thought that was kind of cool that they still have this kind of like banter back and forth where they're not super cool with each other, you know, because everybody is kind of reconnecting after years. So they're not super cool. It's just this shared trauma that kind of brings them together. Now, I got some other cool stuff that I want to get to, but of course, when I'm doing my thing, Cure Brand is going to help me pay them bills. Is right, and that is what's up, guys. Check the link below for curobrand.com. Pick yourself a shirt, a hat, all that good stuff, and of course, once you click on it, cop it. So if I was going to talk about this episode and didn't mention this, I'd be crazy. Big shout out to one of the watchers showing up as the limo driver and Stan Lee. It was great to see him pop up real quick. It was just nice to see that thrown in there. I thought it was fun. It's always good to see him. And I think it added a nice little dimension to be like, hey, this is all of this stuff, you know, he's everywhere. So it's nice. It forms his story more than the runaway story, but it's great just to see him moving around and doing his thing. And in all of these different storylines, I just think it's fun. Now, to the announcement, that was the wildest announcement with the most casual response I've ever seen. All right, imagine you're at this gala, you know, you're black tie, you're doing your thing, all the ladies are wearing dresses, all the men got tuxes on, and, you know, they got, the little croquettes and stuff, and little, you know, little baby shrimp, and all those nice things, all right, where nice people go, all right? And you go, and you're doing all these nice things, and you're donating money, and doing all kinds of cool stuff, and someone gets up in front of everybody and is like, yeah, my wife is cheating, and not only is she cheating, but she cheating with this dude, and he's married, too, to the woman that's right here on stage with all of us. You think that everybody would bug out and be like, oh, what? No, they didn't do that. What they did was like, they were like, oh, okay. Even after he fainted, they were just like, oh, all right. And they went back to eating their sandwiches with the crust cut off. I can't even believe you can go to a situation like this. In any, you know, regardless what city you're in, what country you're in, I would expect more than just a casual, you know, because it didn't seem like they were, swayed either way. And I'm like, dude, this is, homie just dropped a bomb right here. And it seemed like the crowd just was like, whatever. But the last two things I want to holler at is Tina crying. I think that was a huge moment. Especially seeing her cry like that, seeing the tears like that, and seeing Nico want to go to her. I think that shows another level in their relationship from Nico's perspective. And to see Tina that vulnerable shows that she's not this, I mean, she's still mean and crazy, but it does show that there's a baby heart in there somewhere. There's a little baby heart. So I like that. It kind of brought her, down to a level where we can still know that things affect her as a human being. And then of course, we get to see our girl Carolina take flight, which was just straight up beautiful in itself. It was cool seeing, you know, the powers being like manifested and also her seeing herself level up and us seeing where that'll go. So guys, that's a ton of stuff for y'all to digest. I know y'all saw the episode. Holla at me, I'ma holla at you. Down in them comments, let's talk about Hulu, Marvel's Runaways. I love this show, I'm enjoying it, I'm having a good time. I know it's been a while since it's been a video drop. It's been a couple days, and a couple people have been wondering where I've been. Well, due to this, I am now a new dad. Oh, snap. It is so sweet. My son was born on the 21st of December. That's right, a Christmas baby. I couldn't be happier. I'm extremely excited. Glad to share it with you guys. And I am glad to get into this issue. So let's talk about Penumbra. And right now I'm going to go on and talk about issue one, which I really kind of like for the way it's produced and the way it's set up. Penumbra is kind of like an international woman of action. She takes on these jobs. She's almost like a 007-ish type, but more of a mercenary for hire, if you will. You know, if you need something stolen, she can handle it for you. And then the first issue, we get this crazy situation in this club where, of course, she's there to steal something that is, how should we say, a very important movie. And when she gets there, of course, there's other people trying to steal it as well. And hilarity ensues. And the thing I like about this is not only the art style and the coloring, but the dialogue plays pretty well. I like her attitude. I like her wit. She's funny. And homegirl can hold her own. She's very, very dope in a fight. Like there's this chick Clandestine that she gets into it with, and it is a riot. I'll be honest, this is a very short issue, but it's a lot of fun. It gives you kind of like a nice reprieve from some of the more serious books out there. It's nice to just read something that's like whimsical. It has an anthology vibe to it. She has a job here, she has a job there, but she keeps it funny. And she even has fun with the guys that are like protecting the items that she's trying to steal from. You know, it's like, hey, look, it's not you, it's not me, it's the job. You know, it's not personal, I'm just doing what I got to do. And when it comes to the job that she has to do, I really wish I could tell you guys more about the movie, but trust me, you need to read it yourself and you will get a nice little kick out of it, especially if you're into, let's say, sci-fi fantasy. Another thing that grabbed me about this first issue is the lettering. It's unique. It's a little offbeat if you're not used to reading indie comics, but I do like how it's set up. So I did want to give a shout out to the lettering. The production as a whole on the first issue is pretty strum tight. Like, I ain't going front. I was kind of surprised by just how good it was with those like couple of, you know, small pages, because usually the shorter the issue when it comes to indies, there can be some problems. But here, I had a lot of fun, man. There's some giggles in here, some cool fight scenes, and some definite witty banter from back and forth. So that's my take on the first issue. You guys should definitely check it out in the link below. And of course, before we move on to issue number two, Kuro Brand gonna help us pay them bills. Yeah, guys, check that Kuro Brand in the link below for some dope urban wear. Get yourself a shirt, get yourself a hat. All that good stuff is right there for you. So, of course, enjoy and cop it. Now, let's get into issue two, because like I said, this is an anthology series, so you don't have to particularly read issue one to be up on issue two, or vice versa. You know, you can jump into this, say issue 10, and pick up issue two and three and still have just as much fun, because it's more about the girl herself and her crazy antics, while she steals a couple things from here and from there. And in this issue, she meets up with the Wild Hare. And of course, it's a guy with some powers, just like some other people in this world. And his power happens to just be bunny ears. Now, this issue is drawn differently and colored differently because, of course, with the anthology series, I think it's good to pick up different illustrators and different colorists and stuff like that. I think it actually helps push the narrative that this is a different space, a different time, a different story, a different tale that she's going through. I also like that she deals very well, once again, with the guards. Man, you know how it is when it comes to guards. You know, it's just a regular dude. He's paid to guard something. You know, he might not be the best trained, but at least Penumbra doesn't treat him horribly. You know what I'm saying? She's kind of like, look, all right, you guys are dumber than me, but you know, hey, kiss your mother for me. And with an attitude like that, who can resist just the charm of this book? And I think that's where it shines, man. This is just, of course, another tale of her stealing something cool, but there's a charm around her. She's got a great attitude. She's written very well. She has a cool wit, like I said, but she doesn't shy away from a fight. So I like that you get your comedy, you get a little bit of your action. And especially at the end of this issue, she gets tangled up into something that maybe she can't just wiggle herself out of. But guys, if you have checked out Penumbra, or if you haven't, checked that link below, get yourself a bit of Penumbra. But of course, holla at me, I'm gonna holla at you. Down in them comments, let's talk about Penumbra. I'm into it. I think it's something that's very necessary when it comes to comics. I think the broader the genre gets, the better it is for all of us. And I'd love to see a nice little, you know, thief for hire, if you will, that has a tiny heart of gold and a lot of wit and some jokes for your butt. What's up, guys? I know this isn't how we normally start the show, but I got a nice little clip from y'all from some guys at Story Geeks. See, I did a podcast about Justice League just a couple weeks ago. Had a lot of fun. We talked in a long form session, like 2 hours or something like that. We talked forever about Justice League, what we liked, what we hated, the characters, all that good stuff, because that's what Story Geeks is all about, the deepness of the actual plot, the compelling pieces that put it together. And I kind of wanted y'all to see how a brother did. So roll that clip.
Do you want to see what you see in the traditional old comics, or do you want to see people have a different take that makes its way into the movies?
I like a different take with the core of the character. Like, if we can keep the core of like who Wonder Woman is, but she still struggles with what goes on today.
Sure.
Or the core of who Superman is, but he still struggles with, you know, is saving Lois worth leveraging that against society?
Right.
You know, is saving my mom more important than saving I don't know, Baltimore. I don't know why they're in the city. But whatever, you know, or Metropolis or something like that. You know, so as long as we can keep the core of the character, like, yes, truth, justice in the American way. But, of course, it's not the 40s, 50s anymore.
Yeah,
right. You know, so it's different. And kind of like they've evolved Captain America, you know, America, depending on where you sit, isn't as clean as America used to present itself as. So maybe Superman feels different. Maybe Superman is like, yes, I'm truth, justice in American way, but I don't feel America is in line with what I feel anymore. And maybe playing off of that. So I think, you know, for the most part, I think we've kept the core of who these people are. I can recognize Superman to a certain degree. I can recognize Wonder Woman. Wonder Woman probably the most, but yeah, you know, those, you know, those kind of like the core of who this person is, as long as I can recognize that.
It's hard, especially with DC characters, because I feel like DC characters are less relatable to the real world. They're very big and iconic. I don't want to get into DC versus Marvel, but I feel like Marvel has more relatable characters, which makes for, they don't have this problem as much. It's easier for them to tell stories.
Spider-Man super relatable.
And if you look even at a lot of the Marvel costumes and stuff like that, like there are some that are a little bit outlandish, but most of them are very tactical and have a purpose behind them. And then you've got DC where a guy dresses up like a bat and a guy wears like blue and red tights, and they have to maintain the iconicness of that,
right,
but also tell a story that you feel like you're watching people and not just watching these caricatures, you know.
Right.
I feel like evolving them for the screen is kind of something you have to do to make a good movie.
Yeah.
Like, if you look at, like, let's say Joel Schumacher's Batman movies. I don't
Well, let's not look at those.
Well, that's what I'm saying. Like, I don't feel like he endeavored to do this at all. He basically just put a comic book on screen.
Right.
And it's hokey. While I love the classic stuff that we get in the comics have this context that you can just accept that.
Right.
You can draw somebody that's wearing tights, and that's fine.
Right.
It's no big deal. It's a comic book. It's awesome. You're good.
Yeah.
But when you put a real person in tights, then you have to tell that story and explain what's going on.
They got
to
start using steroids, and they got to do all kinds of stuff just to look good. I like what you guys are saying. I'm in total agreement. I loved what Nolan did with the Batman trilogy. Like, that was just phenomenal. I really was enjoying where Snyder was going. He did have some storytelling problems. We've talked a lot about this. We did a whole episode on making Batman v Superman better. Man of Steel for me was a 10 out of 10, 60% of the way through the film. The only thing I didn't like about that film was the end fight lasting 25 minutes doing what that did, right? I'm with you guys. I think that the take that says we don't have to see the exact same character for the comics as long as we are retaining some of their identity so that they're recognizable.
Yeah.
I'm with that.
See, your boy represented well. You know, you can send me out to places and I won't act a fool. See, I contributed and I did a nice job representing everybody at NerdSoul. So guys, if you want to see some more about Story Geeks, they break down stuff like, you know, Star Wars, Justice League, you know, you name it. When it comes to pop culture, they're breaking down those stories. And it's really cool because it's a long form thing, so you can get it on your train, on your ride to work, all that good stuff. So holler at them at the link below and check yourself out some Story Geeks, because if you are into the way stories are told and why they're told, they're probably for you. Disney and Fox. Now, about a week or 2 weeks ago or whatever, we already talked about the acquisition and all that good stuff. Disney's buying 20th Century Fox. They're also getting Fox, the TV channel, FX, and all that good stuff. And it's gonna be really good for them as far as being a content provider. They're gonna have tons of stuff. It's gonna, you know, bring the original cut of Star Wars back to Lucasfilm. It's also gonna bring a whole bunch of stuff like X-Men, also a whole bunch of their villains, and Fantastic Four to Marvel. And that's what we're really here for, because we're here to speculate, of course, on Phase 4 of Marvel Cinematic Universe. And I'm gonna go in and get into it. Now, guys, you're probably gonna think I'm crazy. Most of my friends think I'm crazy with this, but just, you know, go with me for just a moment. All right, check it. So here's my pitch. Here's Phase 4. All right, you got, you know, the Infinity War is done. All that's done. You know, Thanos, we don't know what happens in the movie, but whatever happened, happened. Thanos beat some people up. Some people beat him up. He's still, maybe he's still alive. You know what I'm saying? Maybe he, like, retreated or something. We ain't gonna worry about that because that's already done. So that's out the way. All right, so we kind of open up the phase with a movie from Fantastic Four, or maybe another character, but Fantastic Four is in there. Fantastic Four is coming back from space, and they're coming, they're flying in hot. They're all frazzled, they're crazy. It looks like they're just seconds away from dying, and they finally land on Earth, and they look around and they're like, oh, everything's plain. I don't know what the deal is. I thought, you know, we were scared. Why? Because they were running from the Skrulls. Because all this time in the MCU, because see, we gotta play it off like they've already been there, all right? So all this time during the MCU, from the beginning of Iron Man all the way 10 years ago, all right, they've been in space getting experimented on, getting tested like lab rats, breaking down their powers, all kinds of stuff to, of course, be able to find out how to fight off and defeat all the heroes of course, Earth. And in this case, creating Super Skrulls as well, or the Super Skrull. So, all right, so that's been happening in the background all these years. We didn't even know that. Now we find out. It's crazy because now everything is in go, go, go mode, and everybody on Earth is like, man, what's wrong with y'all? Why y'all crazy? That's why y'all shouldn't have went to space anyway. So anyway, all right, they come back, they crazy, they mad, they having flashbacks, and it's crazy. It's like Apocalypse Now or something. They got bad memories, all right? So they come back. Then, and they trying to tell, you know, the Avengers and stuff, and they're like, dude, man, everything's okay. What are you even tripping on? What is a Skrull? All right, so boom, you got that. All right, then we got the X-Men, and the X-Men come back from the future. Now, the X-Men are coming back, and they're like, yo, we got to mobilize everybody now. And the Fantastic Four are like, yeah, that's what I'm talking about. And then the Avengers and S.H.I.E.L.D. and stuff, they're like, dude, what are y'all talking about? There's no Skrull. We just had Thanos. We finally killed him or whatever, killed him, made a retreat, whatever. And we're finally cool. We're rebuilding the cities and stuff, whatever he destroyed. We're finally cleaning up maybe whatever little soldiers that he might have left around, but everything is fine. Why are y'all tripping? So in this case, the Avengers and S.H.I.E.L.D. are kind of playing the role in the horror movie of the kid that never believes in the supernatural. You know how you in a horror movie, there's all that person, ain't no ghost in here, and be the first one to get killed by the ghost. That's who Avengers is, all right? So, all right, then the X-Men, they're like, yo, we came from the future. Yo, the Skrulls is running it. They took over. It's crazy. It's something called a secret invasion. Now, I know you guys are probably thinking I'm tripping. Secret Invasion shouldn't be adapted. They already tried Civil War, and we kind of liked it, but there was a lot of people that were like, it wasn't the same, and there's no reason to adapt this. And I'm going to tell you why in just a little bit, but of course, Kuro Brand going to help us pay them bills. Yeah, that's right. Dope urban wear just for you. Check that link below for curobrand.com. Shirts, hats, all that mess. And if you see something you like, cop it. So, all right, back to the Skrulls, all right? The way this went down is that the Skrulls were able to kind of sneak in under the fight or during the fight with Thanos. Or, you know what I'm saying? Or, you know what I'm saying? They might have been here the whole time. From the second that they snatched up the Fantastic Four. You can play it anyway. Either way allows them a chance to kind of sneak in and start getting little undercover agents. But here's why I think Secret Invasion is a great step for the next phase. It allows you to play and change and swap actors if you need to, because of course, on the business side, contracts is up. Or contracts need to be renegotiated. We sometimes know when renegotiations happen, that money goes cha-ching. So, you know, maybe they want too much, maybe you can't pay all that, and you wanna renegotiate, you wanna get a new actor. That's gonna allow you to say that, oh, this wasn't the real war machine. He faked us and made us think he was a real war machine, but the real war machine looked like this dude. And you can kind of swap people out, or, you know, Robert Downey Jr. or whatever, you can do that. Also, this allows you to bring in the Illuminati. In this case, this allows you to have Professor X meet up with Reed, because those are the two believers, because Professor X came back from future, Reed came from space. They both believe, they both know what's going down, and them to create and recruit their Illuminati. So that, now you get that kind of behind the scenes, kind of sneaky stuff, which will allow you to pepper in those storylines and stuff like that with, you know, Black Panther, with Namor, all that stuff along the way. So you get that. Then you also get to see your villains in a different light, because you get to see your villains choose sides or fight on their own side. Because of course, you know, Dr. Doom ain't gonna let somebody just invade. Dr. Doom like, yo, that's my job, B. So you got that. But the best thing about the Secret Invasion and Marvel Phase 4, if it happens, I mean, Disney, holla at a player. But anyway, the best thing is you get to cast doubt on each and every person in the story. And that creates a brand new tapestry for storytelling. That's what made Secret Invasion so great, is because you don't know who to trust. And I like that. I like having all these heroes looking at each other sideways, also looking at the movements and decisions they've made ever since Iron Man, and wondering if they are really them or why they made that decision. Like, straight up, are they a Skrull? Are they a collaborator to the Skrulls? Or are they truly just completely ignorant of everything that had been going on and they're a good guy? There's tons of things to play with when you cast doubt on everybody in the film, or in this case, in all the films, because the Phase 4 would probably be like, I don't know, like 8 films or something, whatever it is. But I think that's the biggest thing about Secret Invasion. I really enjoyed the storyline, man. So any way they adapted to make it kind of fit to what's going on now, I think it could be really cool. Why? Because it's a great story, and great stories are great. So anyway, guys, let me know if I'm crazy, let me know if I'm not, and let me know what you think Phase 4 should be or what it should be about. So of course, holla at me, I'm holla at you. Down in them comments, let's talk MCU Phase 4. And before I bounce, I gotta tell you guys to hit up thatnerdsoul.com. That's right, check me out right there, all my videos for the oldest, newest, latest, greatest, and all that. Then hit up shop.thatnerdsoul.com and pick yourself up a t-shirt, player, and don't forget to get one for them playettes. Then come back here, like, comment, subscribe, and share that Nerd Soul. That's right. There's no better way that I can show people that you like what you are watching. So of course, LA, what up? VA, what up? RVA, you got my heart. And please be good to yourselves. Please be good to each other. And remember, yo, regardless of what Phase 4 is gonna be about, I can show enough bet your bottom dollar, not mine. It's gonna be dope. Peace.